Okay, this is a Geico commercial, a 30-second one, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you. The lizard voice doesn't work. But please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. That's the same amount of years as I've been alive. At any time you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time.
Now Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. You know, a lot has been said about me, but I think what... If there were one thing people say about Spike first, and they say, you know what, he's a company man. He's someone who you hire him and he gives you 110% for your company. And Podcast One, my home. I'm grateful to those folks for putting me on the air and letting me do this little stupid Porsche show that we do. And, you know, from time to time, I look at the other 199 shows, half of those are Corolla, by the way. He does, I think, 100 of the Podcast One shows, and then the rest of us are the other 100. And I look for talent and people to come on this show who I think you guys, and I say guys because I'm learning it's 90% men listening to this right now. They're nodding in traffic. They're nodding in their workshops going, yes, we're men. And you 10% of women, I know you'll reach out to me on Instagram and tell me you're listening too. And we're happy to have you here. But because we have 90% guys, there's this podcast called Zane's World that just started maybe last November. Not too new, but relatively new. It's doing really well. And it's featuring a guy named Zane Lamprey, and he's here today.
He's a 100% guy.
And there he is. And this guy, you know, he's got a lot going on. If you're into the... into the travel shows, if you're into alcohol, you're like the boozy Anthony Bourdain.
Wasn't Anthony Bourdain the boozy Anthony Bourdain?
He was. I don't know where to start with you. Why don't you tell us who you think you are? Because you are, right away, I can tell you're an Esquire man like I was. You know, you seem like anything you would have done would have been on the Esquire network, yeah. Like Car Matchmaker was on, right?
Yeah.
And you've had travel shows that have been on Netflix.
Well, you know,
and
it's
National
funny.
Geo
I just got done telling this whole story to my Uber driver on the way over.
Okay.
I will repeat myself for you. Yeah, that was the over the hill version. Gosh, where do you even start? I'm going to work backwards because I usually work the other way. But so right now, my new show, Four Sheets, is on Drink TV.
Okay.
And in that show, I travel around. Are you leaving? You're just leaving. Okay, that's fine. I'll keep talking. In that show, I travel around the world exploring different drink cultures.
Okay.
And
just fade
get to.
Sorry. Fade these up. You can't fade them. What do we usually do here? What's happening?
Why can't we get some light, but not all of it? Thanks, Chris.
Those are the annoying lights.
All right. Here
oh,
we
that's
go.
Beautiful.
Look at this. Now we got it. Thank you. All right.
It's funny. I always have these on, so I'm going to put these on because for some reason I feel more comfortable with them.
You can wear headphones. It's totally fine. You look ridiculous. No, I'm joking. I always mess with the lights and everything. I like it like this, yeah. Right? Doesn't it feel like we're in a bar?
No. Now it feels too intimate.
Well, that's what I want.
I feel a little uncomfortable, and I'm not even sure. Like, I don't even know what to do with my hands.
Well,
why do you need to sit so close to me?
You didn't bring any
so
alcohol.
Weird.
You didn't bring – that's your whole thing.
I didn't.
All right.
I didn't want to be drunk for the
You were into the new show.
Yeah.
And you were talking about Drink TV.
Uh-huh.
And this is – I believe this is an offshoot of the whole Esquire network itself, right? Because it began with the Brew Dogs who had a show on Esquire.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the Esquire network, as you know, went down. Well, you know that intimately, I guess, as well. But so – and then the Brew Dogs said, well, you know, we have – a great show,
right?
And we want the world to see it, so let's go around and let's pitch it to another network. If it was so good, let's someone else will pick it up. And
they were programming to a demo
that
right now is being largely ignored by conventional television.
And
I see it every day.
But you're picking them up with your podcast.
Yes.
So
yes.
And so they said, "Well, we're rich. I don't know if you consider some
the Brew Dogs are rich.
Did you not know this?
No, I did not know that.
The valuation of their company is $1.2 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
And, you know, I read this morning that, you know, Tito from Tito's Vodka.
Yes.
Is now the 503rd richest guy in the world.
Come on.
The valuation, I don't know if it's his or the company, but he owns the company, $4 billion.
Is this why Ryan Reynolds is selling gin?
That's why everyone's
Clooney
like, I need to get. Yeah, exactly.
Holy moly.
Well, Clooney's was another thing.
Now, what is
those guys got in and out quick.
Yeah, they did. But the Brew Dogs, I thought they were just brewing beer out of unconventional things like grass trimmings.
Okay, so they're the largest craft brewers in Europe.
Wow.
And so we just largely don't know them over here.
So this is why they want to do their show for free.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So
money doesn't matter to them.
Yeah, so they said, all right, well, Esquire went off the air. That's just a hurdle. So we're going to start our own network called Drink TV.
Got it.
And put everything drinks on there because they were getting pushback by other networks about content that had alcohol. I mean, you know
the, I know their the
show
whole deal.
Is those guys were just making beer in a fun way.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
But alcohol, some networks or most networks feel like, no, we can't touch this. We won't get sponsors and all that kind of thing. And so Drink TV, these guys with Chris and Jared, the guys who run Drink TV, they said, you know, let's just make a
we're
place
do it
to celebrate it.
Well, yeah, most people, most of you at home don't understand is conventional television is dying right now, and it's because of stuff like this.
Do you think that they don't know? Are we just so close to it out here that we understand?
We all know it. I don't. I think folks, you know, are cutting the cord and going, "Yeah, I don't really need this," and they're starting to realize that they maybe have already left conventional television.
Yeah,
but it's because of this stuff right here and Drink TV. You know, I've always thought this. Somebody is going to walk in and go, well, I'll make the Esquire network and somebody else's bandwidth. I'll just put an app on Apple TV or in Roku or any of these places, and it will become its own network.
Right.
Therefore, I will steal something that NBC Universal had.
Right.
Right? And it sounds like that's what you guys are doing.
I guess so on some level, but I mean—
Well, you don't have the interference. You're not beholden to sponsors.
Right.
You don't have all that network money. Telling you, well, that comes, like you're saying.
It's,
you know, the network money in that space is not big.
Right.
If you sign on, if you're a housewife doing a show at Bravo, you would not believe what they're paying you in that first season.
Right.
It's like maybe it's $1,000 an episode.
Right.
Maybe.
And that's what we were talking about before.
But they also say to you, they say, we're going to take 10% of anything you earn after this out of promotion, right?
Because they've caught on to, what was it?
Skinny girl
who's
cocktails.
The guy? Emeril Lagasse was the guy that basically helped to build Food Network and became very wealthy from it. And so from that point on, they're now making sure that they carve out your future and
they're being greedy. They realize their business has nothing. They're not making any money. They're not even going to pay you. They're saying, we're going to make you famous.
Right. And then it's up to you to monetize that.
And then you're going to monetize it, and we're going to take a piece of it.
Right.
It's like, fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck
that's very accurate.
Right?
Done.
No,
yeah.
No, that's exactly what happened. It happened to me when I signed with Esquire Network. I said, I kind of had a name before I showed up here, gang.
You did a few things.
I'm not giving you anything.
Right.
No, but I'll do a show for you. I like you. I'll do a show. I'm not in trouble.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I mean, look, the now Drink TV is they are celebrating all things beverage. So beer, wine, everything like that, but not boring stuff. I mean, if you go there, drinktv.com, whatever, you can see the sizzle from my show and other things like that. So that's where I am today.
So we're talking about it. Yeah. We're on Roku. We're on Apple TV.
Yeah.
We're on all of our phone devices.
Yeah.
Apple Fire's coming soon.
Yeah.
And you can sign up for $2.99 a month.
Yeah.
Or for $30 a year.
Or
that's one drink. That's one drink in New York City.
What drink are you eating for $30? Oh, in New York City?
Yeah.
If you use coupon code ZANE, you get it for
$19.99
for the year.
So we're signing up. Wow, there you go.
What are you doing? Are you signing up right now? Look at you. God bless you.
I'm not.
I'm not, damn it. You don't hear any keys being put.
I will check it out on my Apple TV. That's when I watch things, right?
When I started, so to work back in time, I'm doing the four sheets now for Drink TV. And then before that, I did a show called Chug, which I kickstarted because everyone was saying no to it. And then before that, I did – so that ended up on Nat Geo and then Netflix. Before that, I did Drinking Made Easy for Mark Cuban's channel, HGNet. Mm-hmm. And then before that, I did a show called Three Sheets for four seasons where I traveled around the world drinking. So that created my brand and then led me forward to where I am now.
When
doing
you get,
the same thing.
When you get your yearly physical, what's your liver enzyme? Is it high?
Seven. What's a good number? What's it supposed to be, like 1,000?
I have no idea.
It's seven.
I always know mine's elevated. It's elevated again. Yeah. What are you doing? I'm like, oh, I don't know. All right. Well, let's talk about first your podcast here,
okay,
which we started with.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. And then I want to get into a little bit about what you like to drink and where you like to travel and some of the travel clothes, too. Like, you're not the Scotty vest guy, are you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Zany jacket guy. So, you know, here's what's interesting about the podcast. I do it out of my house.
Right.
And I get these just amazing, interesting people to come over, and we mostly just talk about them, not like their projects and what's coming up. And people are welcome to do that and that kind of thing. But usually that gets out of the way. Like, we just got out of the way really quick, and
right,
now we're getting real. And I'll just have these like great people on that they'll just open up, and like, you know, it's, I prepare for the interview to go a certain way, and it never ends up
that way, right.
which is great, because I'm a naturally inquisitive kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, like, I had Ian Ziering on last week, and I'm just fascinated with Sharknado, but also the fact that, like, he started doing 90210 when he was 26. Here he is 8 years out of high school, and he gets to go back into it. And then just other things that he's got going on, and
mm-hmm,
and some great other actors and people that I admire. And so that's really what this show is about. I have the interviews in the middle, and then the wraps, so at the beginning and the end, are me, my wife, and then my buddy Steve.
So your wife is your co-host.
My wife, yeah.
Does that get difficult?
It doesn't.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
She's not like, is she got an...
Why, what did she tell you?
Well, I know if I put my wife in front of a microphone, yeah, I wouldn't get a word in.
You know,
so I've kept her out of this studio on purpose.
She's...
And then, by the way, she found her way in on a different podcast.
That is so...
I showed up here one day and she was at the mic and she just waved through the glass.
Yes, that is not... What you're saying is not unique to you. That's the same It's the same thing on mine. That's why she's like, no, the interview thing, I'll do... Because, like... She produced my TV shows, even Four Sheets. She was one of the producers on that.
That's great.
And so she knows Steve, who's been my friend for 25 years. And really, it's an opportunity for just the three of us to just catch up,
mm-hmm,
and just talk about things. And then we talk about the guests. Then we go and come back into it. And we read a few emails from people and stuff like that. But usually it's just like, hey, here's what's going on in my life. It's a lot easier for me to have her tell her perspective rather, mm-hmm, than me tell her perspective, which would be very inaccurate.
So. Well, let's get into traveling and drinking.
Yeah.
These things have always been of interest to you? You've always been a traveler,
no,
and a drinker? Did you start out as a bartender? I used to bartend.
I have bartended, and then I drank my way through college. But when I moved out here, I didn't come out here to be a host. I came out here to do acting. And then when I realized that hosting and that kind of thing just came more naturally to me,
right,
and seemed more fun, that was sort of the road I went down. But if I was hired to do Three Sheets because these people liked me, thought I was funny, and thought I'd be fun to have a beer with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started learning. But I literally didn't know the difference between fermentation, distillation, or infusion at that point. I didn't understand the intricacies of it. And that's, I think, what made the show charming, is I wasn't trying to, like, teach people. I was learning, and people were learning with
right,
me.
Right.
But if I had a car show or I had a gardening show, I would now be known as the car or the gardening guy. But it ended up being drinking. I could have been the guinea pig guy.
Yeah.
That was the thing, you know. So it ended up being drinking, and that's who I am. And at certain points, I've considered sort of departing. Maybe I'm going to make it more about travel. And I start making it more about travel, and everyone's like, "Yeah, travel, that's fine." But what are you drinking when you travel? I'm like, "Okay, now you're trying to pull me back into drinking." But that's fine. I do enjoy it.
Well, that's where you have to lead. You don't do what your audience wants. You have to take them to places, and you have to show them. But
yeah,
aren't you thinking about this Clooney money, this BrewDog's money, and going, "Well, don't I need a piece of what is the alcohol industry worth these days? How many billions?
God.
Like,
well,
as
I mean,
a whole." What is that number?
I mean,
if the Brew Dogs have 1.2 billion,
I think I saw a number the other day that it was like something like half a trillion or something.
Half a trillion, right? And that's a big pie, right?
You know how many walls you could build for that?
Yes.
Everywhere. Around every state. Every town.
And now, you know, I have a friend in one of my neighbors who was like looking around for a business about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was like, he goes, yeah, I'm going to get into alcohol. And I go, what do you mean? And he threw out that number. He goes, this is what.
He wants a piece of that pie.
This is the amount of money people are spending on alcohol.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start. He was in commercial real estate. I'm going to start opening bars up downtown L.A., a bunch of places. Just going to start buying them up and making them cool. And
I hope it worked.
It did work.
Okay,
it worked
good.
Really fast.
Okay.
Because and I've always just thought of the simplicity of that observation. He saw that, look at how much money people are spending.
Right.
Why don't I take some of that?
But I would imagine that he had some money to start off with.
Yeah, he had a family then with a commercial real estate business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you're the same guy. You're a guy out there who's, you know, known for traveling and alcohol.
Yeah.
And where is it? Let's do something right now. Will, we're going to cut you in. What are we going to sell?
I have a rum company. Would you like to buy that?
I love rum.
Yeah.
I do
so
love
I
rum.
So I didn't bring a bottle because I'm a dick.
Well, that's all right.
Okay.
but if I were going to pick, I think, an alcohol to be a part of,
yeah.
Rum seems like the most fun, right?
Rum is absolutely the most fun if you think about some of the drinks that are made from that, like the mojito,
right.
The daiquiri.
Mojito's greatest. Cuba I had Libre. Mojitos in Cuba.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I think of Ryan Reynolds and his gin company, I get a little nervous. Like, I don't know. Are that many people drinking gin right now?
They are.
They are?
Gin is hot. They're all sort of in waves. So right now, we are at the top of the gin wave right now.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a gin wave.
There's a gin wave.
And
it's
how are people
right
drinking gin?
Just go to a place that that mentions the word mixology,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to serve you a gin drink.
Ah, so that's this is a hipster thing.
It's a hipster thing.
And
sure.
So tell me some of these drinks, because people listening are going to go,
all right.
As far
as gin is concerned,
yeah,
you can have a shot of gin. You can have gin on the rocks. You could have... I don't know.
This all sounds bad so far.
No. I mean,
you could drink it right out of the bottle. Just uncap it and lay it in an alley.
I don't necessarily have all these.
And drink it.
Gin and tonic.
The gin and tonic is a classic.
Just go with the classic.
What is the gin rippy? What is that?
Gin Ricky. It's like
gin Ricky.
Gin and lime.
I thought you were talking about like Rodney Allen rippy. Gin rippy.
Gin ripper.
No. This is great. You know, I won a recipe contest. Back in the day. I used to be bartender at Legal Seafoods.
Really? Which one?
In Park Plaza.
And New York.
And Campari came in and they said, we're having a contest for whoever can make the most delicious Campari cocktail. Do you mm-hmm. know what Campari is?
Yeah, sure,
that horrible red. Is it Italian liqueur?
It's, yeah, exactly.
It tastes awful. So I just mixed it with some peach schnapps and a little bit of cranberry juice and a little bit of, I think, orange juice. Just to take away the Campari taste from Campari. And I'll
to
tell
hide
you what.
The taste of Campari from
I
Campari.
Won. I won that
did
contest.
Did you really? That's
yes,
fantastic.
I did.
It was an up drink? Was it served over ice?
It was,
sure?
Yeah. Foofy. Foofy
nice.
Drink. You know,
that's
oranges, a
nice.
Little bit of cherry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could have been the only guy who entered it, too.
I was going to say, you become a diabetic before you got drunk from it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I liked all those melon drinks, the Midori drinks and all that stuff.
Oh,
I miss bartending. I bartended in New York,
sure,
too.
I bartended a bunch back in the day, and that's really a lot of those things were like – that was when the most elevated you would get would be the Cosmopolitan.
Right. Right.
And
yeah.
Now it's – every bartender has this book that they keep with
right.
a few hundred recipes that they're always messing around with, but making some pretty amazing
I know,
things.
But what's hard for me to imagine – so one of the last bars I bartended at was down at South Street Seaport, and it was for the Wall Street crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the volume business. It was like, you've got to be making at least 20 drinks a minute.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like the stock floor. People
like
just going, five
like,
deep. And you're
like
just,
cocktails and dreams.
Yeah, there's no time to mix anything.
Yeah.
It's just get me my goddamn drink fast. They're
yelling
at
you. But I'm sure they were pretty simple drinks.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. So it's, you know, now you're saying it's a different culture that we're into.
There is still bartending.
Right.
But then there's also the sort of craft cocktail or mixology
right,
movement
right.
if you want to be douchey about it. But like, so those guys, you know, it was sort of this thing where like, so a buddy of mine went to school in Italy for hospitality, starting at like the high school level. Like
mm-hmm.
that they had the programs to be, you know, so like when you became a bartender in a lot of other countries like Europe, you know, you weren't on your way to doing something. You were where you were going to be. Like, being a bartender is a profession.
Mm-hmm.
It was seen by a lot of people, especially 10, 20 years ago and then beyond, as a stopping point for someplace. You're going someplace else. You're like, oh, what do you do in your – what's your other job, right? But mm-hmm. now it's coming back and taking ownership of itself where people can have a career and become a rock star being a bartender.
Wow.
Did I just blow your mind?
No. You just make me think I was in Italy last year and we were talking – we were talking about that. We were just talking about everybody that we bumped into in the restaurants, on the boats, everywhere. This was their job.
Right. And they took and there's such pride, right?
Just pride. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Simple pride. Yeah. This is what I do, and I'm going to do it the best I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's missing here from the United States a little bit.
It is/was because it's really, like I said, it's really coming into itself where at one point it was just food and drink. Then Food Network came along.
Right.
And really that was the beginning of like of turning chefs into rock stars and celebrities and making the food more important.
Mm-hmm.
The more – it's like I was talking to someone about like wine and like I just enjoy like a nice red wine or a nice white wine, whatever it is, and like a good one. But the more you know about wine, the more particular you get. And the more expensive your habit becomes, right?
Right.
Now you're
right.
collecting. Now, like, you won't touch anything that's not, you know, of a certain vintage or whatever it is that you like. And so the more you know, the more it's costing you. And that's kind of what has happened in, the last 30 years with food is that we are all, as a culture, becoming more educated as to the offerings of food. And so once that sort of reached its apex, now we're going, okay, that's great. Now what's the drink community like? So that's why, like, the craft beer scene wasn't anything 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It slowly came into itself. And now, you know, I remember a point where, like there was a time, wasn't too long ago, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, when, like, Alabama didn't have a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Now it would be unique to find a town that didn't have, a city,
right.
a village that didn't have a
now
brewery.
Now I see them in Santa Monica now.
Yeah.
What does it cost to start a brewery if I want to make my own beer, Spike's Car Radio beer?
All right, why don't you buy Adams? Buy Adams at Endless Rant Beer.
Adam, he's got his own beer?
Yeah.
I know he has the sangria, right? Mangria, he calls it, which is gross.
Just make him an offer.
Right. That sounds like semen of some kind.
The good thing, the difference with brewing and like distilling is like home brewing is legal.
I don't want to do it in my house.
Home distilling. Yeah, but the thing is like if you're asking for – are you asking for you or the people listening? Because – there's two
Both
answers.
Of us.
Okay, for
I want all the answers.
For in general, all you need is some homebrew equipment, which you can go out and buy for $100.
Really?
Yeah,
that's it. I want to make lots of this beer.
Okay,
I want a big piece of
then,
that.
Then do a good job.
$500 billion pie.
But the thing is like we're at a time when a brewer like you could. Brewers are trying to steal brewers from
right.
other breweries because
yes.
they're so good.
Wow.
So now you have to get good at what you're doing and make it something that people want, make it unique or whatever it is, make it good, and then you start to expand. So like for anyone wanting to start a brewery, that's a reason why so many breweries are starting up. You can start it like your neighbor with a bunch of real estate money,
right.
or you can start it in your garage or your closet in your dorm. And if you're doing a good job and you care enough about it to continually improve yourself, then you will have your staying power and you'll be able to grow.
Well, is the beer making equipment something that could explode at any moment? It's not like the old fashioned stills we used to see.
Well, so that's what distilling is.
That's distilling,
so,
right?
So distilling.
So beer is safe. Beer making.
So what? I'll just break it down. Like so, you brew beer from sugar.
Yep.
And then you end up with something that has a low alcohol content.
Right.
And then,
how long does that take?
Days.
A couple of days.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then if you then take this big thing of beer mm-hmm. and you turn the heat on,
mm-hmm.
the first thing, one of the first things that's going to evaporate will be alcohol. So the alcohol evaporates out, and then it condenses, then it turns down and it drips out. So like you'll take a beer and you can pull the whiskey out of that with a still and then – sorry, yeah, pull the alcohol in the, you're basically creating whiskey or a white whiskey or vodka or whatever.
I see.
So the distillation is expensive, which is why it's illegal to do on certain sizes.
Yes.
And why moonshiners would go out in the middle of the woods. One, so they wouldn't see the smoke of people making it. Also, because if it exploded, it really wouldn't do much harm.
Totally get it. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
I'll be right back.
In 1 minute with Spike's Car Radio. Everybody has a favorite pair of jeans. The pair that fits perfectly and always looks great. The pair you wear out at night, at home on the couch, on your motorcycle, at work, wherever. They're the go-to. Do not underestimate their importance. No one knows this better than Wrangler, the authority on jeans, using their expertise in comfort and durability. Wrangler jeans are made for the adventurers, the go-getters, folks who like to keep moving. Whether you ride a motorcycle, a bronc, or a skateboard, or if you're the type who walks the beach in search of something special, these are the jeans for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits, and a price that works. Vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. New styles, great fits. Wrangler. Real comfortable jeans and shirts. I'm wearing one of them right now.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
And we're back. We're moonshining today, folks. We're moonshining. We're learning how to do it properly and legally.
Are you going to like you, how much?
I'm
much
long
you past,
but you know, I'll tell you what. I remember, and again, this is going back to Legal Seafoods again, Legal Seafoods days,
where
this guy came in with his beer, and we were introduced to him. We had a big restaurant meeting with all the servers and the bartenders, and they go, "We want to introduce you to this guy. He's making his own beer. It's called Sam Adams."
Never heard of it.
And we think it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And it had a Patriot on the label.
No,
and we were just laughing, just going, what?
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, well, what, he's going to compete against Budweiser?
Was that Jim Cook?
It was.
It was him? Okay.
Is he still around?
He is still around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came in and he gave us his pitch. And, you know, we looked at each other. And we, at the time, we're serving Bass Ale. Like, that was our cool
of
ale.
Course.
And,
yeah.
And then the domestic beers and Heineken's. And that was about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Michelob on tap.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, this guy, we tried the beer. It was okay. But who wants this?
Right.
Who wants a small company beer?
You know what it was? It had, and they'll be the first to tell you, like, it had a lot more flavor.
It did.
But then you had to expect that there was a market for it. You had to educate people of why this beer
tastes
more.
Yes, and that's what he was doing.
More.
Yeah, walking around and doing in Boston.
That's fantastic.
And he's worth, what, billions now, right?
He is worth billions. Uh-huh.
Yeah. God damn it.
He only pays himself like a dollar. But that's a bit deceptive, you know?
Yeah. All this stuff that slipped through my hands.
There's a few, like, and by the way, these are people that I've become lucky enough to become friends with over the years and have gotten great advice from these guys.
Yeah.
And really, their advice always is, if you just make it because you love it and make it to be amazing, then you'll do fine. People that are coming in to do it to
make
turn
money.
A profit or flip
it,
you know, I think they're doing it for the wrong reasons, and at this point, we're so informed, it's difficult to not be transparent with that.
What's the least competitive alcohol, do you think, out there? What do you think that is? Triple sec? If we came out with our own triple sec?
You know, it's funny, because that's basically like a Grand Marnier, right?
It tries to be.
We want to come
out
with
it's not even close to a Grand Marnier.
Let's come out with like a...
Yeah. It's nothing.
I don't know. I can't. By the way, I was trying. I thought we were going to work our way down to triple sec. You just went directly there. Yeah. Spikes triple sec.
I always was intrigued by
quadruple sec. What?
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
Yeah. My first job, and I was so excited to bartend when I was a kid, because I got a job bartending at 17 and a half in Massachusetts, Cape Cod adjacent in Buzzards Bay. Do you know where Buzzards Bay is?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a seafood restaurant that doubled as an alcoholics bar, right?
Okay, sure,
just people there all day long.
It smelled of smoke, by the way.
And the bar was a boat, an old fishing boat that they had hollowed out. And they asked me if I wanted to bartend one day, and I said, yeah. And I said, but I don't know how to make the drinks. I know how to make a Cape Codder and a screwdriver and the beers, but that's it.
Yeah.
And they said, all these guys will tell you how to make them.
That's it.
And so then old ladies would come in and go, give me a grasshopper.
Yeah.
And I go, what? What is that?
And you had that little...
Green creme de menthe.
That little book, that bartending book, whatever
it
was.
They gave me the Boston bartending,
that's
but
right.
That thing's a mess because it's muddled and take a teaspoon of this and that. Sure enough, the people who came in, they would be able to tell you, this is how I like it.
And
here,
that's
do it
what
like
I was
that,
told.
They would tell you.
My first day of bartending, again, that's the difference between bartending then and
bartending now.
Bartending now, I guess. I was going to mix it up, but at the end of the day, they're all bartenders. But like, it would be like, my first day, I was like, I don't know. And I was studying the book the night before. Like,
right,
oh my God.
Me too.
And I was like quizzing myself and whatever. That's the only reason I know
because you didn't
what a gin ricky is from that book.
You didn't want to be caught not knowing a drink,
right?
How serious you take it.
You
lied
on your resume. And then, sure enough, I went into the bartender. I go, look, I've never done this. She goes, everyone knows. It's going to be like whiskey and Coke or, you know, like vodka soda. It's like always everyone knew what they wanted.
Yeah, everybody knows their drink. That's the secret. If you're going to bartend, ladies and gentlemen, everybody knows their drink. You can just start. You don't need to train yourself.
Well, if you're going to bartend in the 80s,
yes,
then that's true.
You know, there was a lot of crime, too. And I remember, especially in New York, they said, we're going to give you a lie detector test before we hire you here. And I said, what? And they go, well, a lot of money passes through these bartenders and people take it. And I said, how exactly is that? And they wouldn't tell me, but I soon learned what that was.
Right.
You know, you order drinks, you take the cash, you put it in your pocket.
Cash,
right?
Yeah.
Right, right.
How did they implement that lie detector test?
I don't know, but
you never
I did take it.
But like, were you electrodes and stuff?
Yeah.
Like the old CIA
No, they
CIA
hooked
stuff?
Me up. Yeah, yeah. A guy with glasses looking down.
He's nodding.
Or have you
He's
ever...
And pictured
now I know
naked.
For a fact I lied twice on that one, and I did. There were some questions just like that's a little too personal.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
And I'm going to lie.
What if you just lie throughout the whole thing?
Well, I mean, if you think about, if you're not prepared for this test, right? So I'm at the time I'm the receptionist for Saturday Night Live. Then there's a writer's strike. I just need to get a job to support myself. So I go down there. I know how to bartend, and I had done it before. I remember one of the questions was, and it's tough. You're sitting there unprepared, and they go, have you ever stolen anything at all before? And, you know, if you have a brain like mine that really gets granular and small,
exactly.
too, does that mean ketchup packets that I wasn't entitled
I did
to?
Steal someone's heart
you know, I
one
can,
time.
I can think of 10. I stole somebody's parking spot
yeah,
once
that's right.
because
that's
I needed to, and I didn't. Those things ran through my head
I steal.
For about 8 seconds. Right. What is stealing?
So wait, so what did you say, though? You think you said no?
I said no, but I wasn't. I know I wasn't sure, and I definitely felt the sphincter squinch up. I don't think they had the sphincter monitor on at that point. But I had never shoplifted before, and I was raised right. I never stole
anything.
So
here you are in this millisecond.
What about stealing Wi-Fi?
Justifying your answer? Wi-Fi didn't exist.
I'm not getting that job. I know I'm not getting the job because there were two or three questions I just lied, straight out lied about. I remember at the time.
But you got it.
I got it. Yeah. And boy, did I rob them blind. I owe them at least $30,000.
They shouldn't have told me that they were so susceptible to theft.
This was Pedro O'Harris. I don't know if it's still there. South Street Seaport. Pedro O'Harris.
If you're there, statute of limitations, you're fine.
We had, and I didn't steal, I'm joking, but we had the
How
mob.
How we know? You're a liar.
We had the doormen were armed, and they were mob. They were mob-related, all connected, and that's because the Wall Street clientele that would roll in there at 4 o'clock were just animals. They were fucking animals.
By the way, you at some point served the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes, I definitely
did.
The
actual person.
What I remember from the job, aside from the insanity and how much money we did make from it, was getting off on a shift one morning at 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You had to clean up, and I was hanging out.
You're lucky you got out at 4, yeah.
It was like a Saturday night. I had nothing to do on Sunday, so we're hanging out, smoking cigarettes, having a drink, and the sun's coming up, and I'm like, are you going to take the subway home? And as I got up, I looked out off the pier there at the sun coming up, and there's a big floater, dead body, just floating up. Certainly, most likely dumped by our own doorman.
Or one of the doormen.
And swollen like an oysterette that had been in clam chowder too long, you know, when it's been sitting there for hours.
So I bartended.
He just raked him up.
In the Hamptons.
Wow, what a great night.
I bartended in the Hamptons. So really the same kind of crowd. They went out there for the weekend. And we had, unfortunately, several instances of floaters.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Of people who died from drinking or just their bodies were tossed?
There was just I was there for 2 summers. There was one summer that was just horrible with that kind of stuff. I mean, like, and here I am making great money. I mean, the money was ridiculous.
Yes.
And to put it in perspective, I think one time, like, I think maybe I left with like $700 in tips.
Yeah.
And this was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It's big.
And so, that was when.
See, that's why I don't think guys these days are making that money because they're taking 5 minutes, 10 minutes to make a drink perfect for some.
Yeah, but that's a place that's open all the time. Like, in the Hamptons, it was like, it's like, you know, what it fine. You
didn't you pride
months.
Yourself on speed and execution and flipping? But I used to do that.
I was moving so quickly. I just had, I, it was like,
all right.
The shift was over. I had no
Let
idea
me tell you
on.
Another story.
Please.
See if you can relate to this.
Regale.
One. All right. There, when I was 18, I was working at Houlihan's, which is next to Crickets and Lilies where I worked in when I was going to college. So I was kind of putting myself through college, right? There was a bartender there named Shep, right? And mm-hmm. I was the barback. I was also the Moosehead Moose. But Shep used to, if he
when
had
you
a...
said the Moosehead Moose, what does that mean?
I would dress up like a moose on Thursday nights and hand out beer
okay,
for people
Thursdays.
When I was 18.
Yeah, sure.
I remember one particularly horrible incident where I leaned into the vinaigrette dressing up to my shoulder and it never came out of the costume. Anyway, irrelevant sidebar. Shep, and this shocked me because I was just a kid from a small town in Massachusetts. When he had a jerk customer, they'd say, Shep, give him the worm. And he would stir the drink, the guy's drink, with his dick.
Oh, wow.
No, it's the worm. And I saw this many times at Houlihan's. And I think now it's over 20 years, so I can – I'm not even sure Houlihan's still exists anymore.
No, now that drink's on the menu.
There were two – it is, right. There were three worms at least a night that I knew of because of that kind of edgy Boston clientele. Do you remember horrible horror stories of bartending like
that? I at one point
–
all right, so just put keep this – like this synergy – there was this place in the Hamptons called the Bordy Barn, and it was just a shit show. And there was a guy who would come, and they called him the Maloney Man. Uh-huh. And he would dress up and make up and cover his face. And hold
what is
a giant,
Maloney? What is
well, melon.
Oh, okay.
So he'd come with a giant watermelon, grass skirt, and he would come and do this big ceremony.
Right.
And then he would stab it with a giant knife, whatever, and then...
Like a Hawaiian thing.
Yeah, but just, you know, the trashiest possible version of one.
Okay.
The Long Island version of one. And then he would pull out all the guts and then fill it with booze.
Right.
And then he would poke a hole with like a 9-inch nail or whatever, and then he would pour it so everyone could like drink out of it.
Right.
It was like this big ceremony. And so the bar that I was working at was called the Polo Grounds. But the guy just decided before that summer to change the name from Polo Grounds, which was like known throughout Long Island and the Hamptons. People would go there all the time. He wanted to change it to McBee's House of Brews, which immediately just made business go from like 100 to 3. It was amazing. Opening night, there was like 17 people there.
Right.
And normally, they kept the name. It was the weirdest thing. So he was just grasping at straws, anything we could do to like get you know people in there. So he told me, if I want to keep my job, I have to become the Maloney Man because I think the Bordy Barn stopped doing it. And so he wanted to keep it alive. He was throwing everything. So I remember it came out this one time with this music dress, and I have a photo of it, and like dressed like this crazy guy.
It's
and
the
like,
worst name. So, why not the Melon Man? What is you know, the Maloney?
Everything. Well, I think it was Melony, and it just changed. I don't know. It makes no sense. But it was stolen. So I
would watch the Melon Man, but not Maloney Man.
No, it was horrible because it was associated with a different bar. It was like the whole thing was just so messy.
Yeah, yeah. He really couldn't get out of his own way.
I also, the same year before that, I was working at this new place called Catalina Grill, which mm-hmm. is a weird name for, and it wasn't even on the water or whatever. and so opening night.
But they had jazz up there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just a, you know, all those places, like this is Hampton Bays. This isn't the upscale Hampton. Mm-hmm. And Hamptons. And so this guy, opening night, I'm a bartender. I had the back bar, big place, you know, planning a big night. And they open the doors. A guy comes back, and I serve him a beer or whatever. And there's a bouncer or whatever. And then a cop comes. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna serve you a beer, but I'll serve you a you know a water or whatever. And he's like, no, I need to talk with you in the back. I'm like, so me and the owner go back, and he's like, you just served a minor. I'm like, you're kidding. I said, there's a bouncer. He's like, I know, but they didn't check this guy's ID.
This is the biggest crime on the East Coast.
So wait, so that's on me?
Yeah.
The bouncer did it. It was the worst thing.
Right.
Then the guy, the owner
but
goes.
You're technically the guy who served him. I remember hearing the speech from the owner.
But you know what it was? It was the bouncer. So they took a guy who was like 20, just joined the police force. The bouncer was a buddy of his and let him in.
Oh.
But, you know, that's the only reason the guy got in. He's like, oh, yeah, go ahead, whatever. Thinking he was like being cool. And so the owner goes, don't worry, we'll take care of it. We'll get it fixed up, whatever. There's a court date and all that kind of stuff. And then the place went out of business.
Great.
So then I had to go to another bar, and then I said, instead of me, the guy had a friend who was an attorney. He knew. He's like, I'm not going to pay you an hourly wage, but I'm going to take care of your whole court thing. You just work for tips. It was a good summer.
Has that liability disappeared? Because I think I was around for the birth of the bartender liability. I remember the very first meeting when the manager sat down and he goes, from now on, at least in Massachusetts, if you serve someone who's drunk, you're gonna get in trouble. I'm like, what? Me? What did I do?
Right.
I can't control what people order.
Right. Even if the owner said serve him, and you did, it's still on you. Yeah.
I know. That whole thing changed. And it seems like now fraught with danger
to
be a bartender.
It, 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 Luckily, though, we do have things like Uber and Lyft that are just fantastic for removing that, you know.
Yeah, but even if they fall on their face.
Yeah.
You know, you served them. Anyway, we're going to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk about travel pants. Travel pants! This is Spike's Car Radio. With over 20 years in the business, Pelican Parts is a trusted resource for new replacement parts for your Porsche, BMW, Mercedes, and other European cars. Keep your car running smoothly and avoid costly repair bills by learning how to do it yourself with thousands of free step-by-step guides. I've been there. I've used the guides. They work. They carry everything you need, tools, car care products, and aftermarket accessories. If you have any questions, they have qualified auto experts on hand who are happy to help you find exactly what will fit. Plus, a thriving forum community with like-minded gearheads like Spike Ferriston who can help with tips and tricks on your next project. The thousands of parts they have in stock ensures that they'll be on time for your weekend wrenching. Plus, they offer free shipping on qualified orders over $99. Just call 888-280-7799 or order online at pelicanparts.com. Pelican Auto Parts. Fix it, drive it, love it.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
Is that travel pants like mine? No, is that something
different? We're back, Spike's Car Radio. What are travel pants?
What are travel pants?
Is that my company?
Well, I have a travel jacket.
I know you have a travel jacket.
You want to talk about travel pants?
But I wanted to ask you about travel pants because my Instagram feed, you know, it's you're on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know how you'll see a new thing appear on your Instagram feed and then suddenly you'll see guys wearing these things?
Oh, I did see that. I did.
Travel pants seem to be everywhere. Yeah. You got to get the Mack Whalen or something travel pants. Yeah. Mack Weldon.
Yeah.
Travel pants, right?
You're not traveling. What are you traveling? Jeans?
And I'm going, and I go, well, shoot, Spike, you're going to St. Bart's in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I got to get travel pants. I'm a travel man. Traveling man without travel pants.
Please tell me you did.
And I bought the Mack Weldon travel pants.
Okay.
But then I've been noticing, like, the guys in my life are suddenly walking around in their travel pants.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What else do you do in pants but travel?
What
I mean,
do
like,
you mean?
What other uses are there for pants other than getting from one point to another?
Well, then I started thinking about the late night commercials with the Scotty vest,
mm-hmm.
and this ad that's on all the time, and this guy who's got a vest with 1,000 pockets in it, and
like
he's got to carry all his crap,
like a photographer.
Yeah, like, and then I was
pictures
like,
of fish.
Are people really carrying that much stuff that they need a Scotty vest?
It's the fact of whether it's the fact that if you're prepared, should you need to,
and then you. And I saw you were coming on the show, and you have your own line of jackets?
Yeah.
And what is it called?
Adventure.
Adventure. And you're in this world, and you can now explain to me this market, which seems to be booming. I want to understand this.
I should have brought your jacket, but
wait, first of all, question.
Yeah, sure.
Travel pants? Should I wear the travel pants when I travel?
Are you not wearing them now?
No.
How did you get here?
Did you teleport?
You didn't travel to work?
I just walked in. But as you see, I have my briefcase.
You wouldn't have needed the briefcase had you travel pants.
I liked the way the travel pants looked, and I thought I'm taking a bunch of different flights. I thought I'd be able to sleep in the travel pants.
Okay.
Do you recommend travel pants?
You sold me on them.
Yeah. I sold you. You're the expert. You're supposed to tell me definitively whether this was a good idea or not.
I'm not the expert in travel pants, but I'm an expert in travel, and I own pants. So I'm halfway there.
Why? What?
Here's the uptick.
But as an expert in travel, do we need travel pants?
You do.
You do.
Here's the uptick in travel. There's now this system that we get rewarded for traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, Facebook, mm-hmm. whatever, mostly Instagram. So now you literally can get points for going someplace. Those points are accolades, right? In the form of a like. And so people are now traveling more than ever. National parks attendance is like double of what it was
mm-hmm.
5-6 years ago. And so if travel is an industry that is booming, then of course you're going to need pants to go with it. But here's the interesting thing about pants.
Well, tell me what you sell. You sell the travel jacket.
So I have travel jackets.
Okay.
So here's what I have a hoodie, a fleece, and a windbreaker, and a parka.
And that's it. You a nice small selection.
Yes.
I'm not going to go to your site and be overwhelmed with choices because I don't like that.
You might be overwhelmed with excitement.
I like that.
Over what you see. Because if you got excited about pants, My goodness, sir.
I saw your stuff and I liked it.
Yeah.
I want you to sell me on it, though, right now. I want you to sell me a coat.
So, and I wish I would have brought one, because when you see it, you get it. But
I did see it. I did. I had a chance to have a little lunch, and I went up on your site, and I liked everything I saw.
Now
I want you to tell me more before I buy one.
So everything, all of the jackets, everything convert into pillows. So if you walk onto a plane,
yes,
even up in first class,
yes.
Emirates, I know, I can tell.
Never that,
like,
been.
And you get
not me.
The, even if you get the pillows that they use even up there,
yes,
they're just not great. If you, they I don't
mites.
In coach, they don't even do that anymore.
Well,
these are these chintzy little pillows.
I know,
they don't even
or you know, I've you been the guy
them.
With the stupid neck pillow and
right.
the carry on,
and then
walking.
What do you do, and then what do you do with it?
Yeah, yeah. I don't like it.
So if you walk in with like our fleece or windbreaker or anything like that, you in about 3 seconds, you can turn it into a pillow. And some people might say, well, I'll just wrap up my jacket and make it a pillow, but it doesn't stay trim like that. So if you take one of those, like the parka is amazing because it's this huge, fluffy pillow, and you just like go right to sleep.
And then you have lots of pockets.
And then you have lots of pockets because when you're traveling, you just don't know what you'll need.
Right.
And then, so we've.
I can tell you what I need.
Please,
I need
me.
Places to hide stuff.
Drugs.
No.
Children.
Sometimes I travel with an extra watch,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to put that in my backpack and throw it up and get it banged around.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I do like a ticket pocket, a money pocket, an extra watch pocket.
Then there's some hidden pockets as well.
And some hidden stuff, right.
But they all need to be sort of balanced, and I think that's the reason why there's – I mean, I know that's the reason why we have many pockets, because you don't want to overfill something. If I reach into this pocket
mm-hmm. –
you know, I want to pull out what's in there. I don't want to have to go fishing for things. If I see something that's happening real quick and I have a camera or my phone, whatever, I want to reach in and grab it and that's it. Or my wallet. I know my wallet's here. The sunglass pocket, that's here and it's fleece lined, so you know your glasses are protected. Over here, this is a beverage pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's like – it was sort of started as a novelty, but – but there's so many uses for it. Like, it's a koozie pocket to keep, like, your drink cold. But so many times you'll just want to have your hands free. You can even put, like, I walked to Starbucks, got a coffee for myself. My wife texted me. She wanted one. So I'm like, okay, how do I carry two coffees and have the leash for my 165-pound dog? I just
mm-hmm.
couldn't do it. So I'm like, oh, I was wearing the hoodie, so I've just put the coffee in there, and then I was fine. I got home, whatever. So, like,
wow.
Just a lot of uses.
You put a coffee in a jacket?
I put a coffee and it kept it warm.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I want that jacket.
Your pants can't
you
do that.
You just sold me.
Your pants can't do that.
A GT2 RS can do that. I've been doing that in an old Porsche, a new Porsche,
mm-hmm.
which.
They have cup holders?
It had a cup holder.
A cup holder?
And it had no manual transmission. It had a PDK. And I was driving around today with a cup of coffee and I really loved it. I've had a glorious morning bouncing around
the
meetings.
Did you order the electric one yet?
You know, I talked to a dealer last night about it.
Taycan?
Taycan.
Taycan.
Yeah, that's how they pronounce it. And they said, and he, you know, started down the road he did with all of these special cars. He's like, you know, they've all been promised. They've got more orders for that car at this dealership than they have an allocation.
Yeah.
Which means they're going to be hard to get. They've already doubled the production on that car.
I saw that today.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's going to be, you know, super successful. I think, you know, at least here in the west side of LA and LA, people want something different than the Teslas.
Uh-huh.
They're around, you know. But I don't know. I have a little bit of trouble with electric cars because I still haven't felt the soul of the car. You know, and maybe
what
that's,
have you driven?
I've
a bunch?
Driven everything.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I like them for the first couple of days, and then something keeps me from desiring them after about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, whereas a GT2 RS or, you know, even just a normal 911, they're, you know, I can't wait to get in
Did
it on
Did you get
the
a ride in the Roadster, the Tesla Roadster?
No. No, I saw some footage of it yesterday. Super fast.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
I know. But then, you know, I think of golf carts.
I don't know.
I know
what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
It's the rumble. It's
And at the same time, I don't like being at the gas pump every 3 or 4 days, and I don't like polluting. So I think it's just going to take me a little longer. And I have a car in this spot that's my daily, that's my family car that I think may eventually go electric. Where I don't, the expectation is pretty low. It's like
everything way sooner than we think is just going to be. Electric, so.
Right? Yeah, in the next couple of years,
yeah.
but still, you know, we'll have the old cars around. I don't know.
We're
an enthusiast, Joe.
So yes, my jacket will keep your coffee warm.
I like your jacket. I like your jacket. I think you should now branch out to the travel pants.
Pants are so I'm so scared of pants because jackets, like, what size jacket do you wear?
Medium.
Medium. Okay. I'm a large, and I'm pretty much a large in
right.
in everything.
Pants are tough.
You got the waist, you got the length, you got all kinds of stuff happening, and it's the same reason why I wouldn't want to go into shoes.
Right.
There's so many more. So.
But you know, I'll tell you, on the Instagram, the travel pants are sold on the fashion shot. There's always a shot of the guy in the travel pants mm-hmm. with the cuffs rolled up, mm-hmm. and he's got these sharp white sneakers. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, ooh, I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Right? And then sure enough, I see those guys who want to be that guy wearing those pants.
The interesting thing is with our hoodie, so our main product is the hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we this year branched out.
What is the hoodie made of? I love hoodies.
It's made of?
Yeah. What fabric?
It's a blend. So it's like I think it's 80-20. Cotton polyester.
Oh.
So okay. that it can breathe and then mm-hmm. has this shape retention.
Okay.
But it's, we sold out in like 4 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, but we have our parkas.
So what happens in the, why don't you make more?
Well, we just have to, I don't have the same neighborhood you have, so I need to.
Right.
Yeah. So we're having another Kickstarter in a month for our new.
And where do you
backpack.
Make them? Do you make them here in LA or do you make them
overseas? No, you know what's crazy? We manufacture them overseas, so
right.
in China, which I think is different. Have you been over there?
No,
yeah.
never.
No, it's just whether for whatever reason it's just different than what people are imagining. And so our company is a very high tech company that like is green. It's greener than a lot of companies mm-hmm. in the U.S. But we kind of put a pin in it and said like I said no, I want to make them here. I want to make the stuff here. So I talked to the best factories that I could to have the hoodies made over here. And what was amazing is at the end of the day, they were ordering all of the components from the fabric to the trimmings, the webbings, the buckles, the buttons, all that kind of stuff from China. And then they're just putting it together over
right,
there.
Right, they're assembling it. Right.
But then they wanted some parts of that to be done over there. So the mm-hmm. assembly here was less. And so... It's like I'd love to bring the work here, but again, I've been over there. This is a way longer conversation. I've seen the pollution and everything that's come from manufacturing,
right?
And I don't want that over here,
right?
This is we complain about LA smog, but like that's a completely different story. So anyway, over there, and then my bags are made in Vietnam because they are the best at them. So.
What is and I don't remember I was there. What's the big drink in Vietnam these days? The one I remember everything when I was there was still like it was like 1965 maybe and the Apocalypse Now. The bar mm-hmm. they had a bar playing the music and
yeah.
everything was still the 60s. Do they have a big drink scene there? I'm just talking about like for folks listening, like where do we want to go for a booze vacation that's interesting? We can learn about the culture.
Not Vietnam, first of all. We could have started there. They have something which is kind of interesting. So back when I shot there, now I go there for work, a different
right,
work now,
right.
but when I shot there, they were known for what's called Bia Hoi, which means beer of the day. And so we pasteurize mm-hmm. our beer. So killing off anything in it that's going to – so once it leaves the factory, it's basically like
dead,
you know?
Yes.
And then theirs is still sort of fermenting. So you can only really have it for a day or two before it goes bad.
Wow.
So the breweries would deliver the beer every day.
Fresh. Yeah.
And the method of delivery over there is scooter.
Right.
So you see these guys with these giant tanks on scooters.
Wow. And with ducks. Do you know the guys with ducks and the whole family on one scooter? Do you remember those?
I took a picture of six people on a scooter.
Right.
Six. One of them was an infant. You know who's going to be the first one they would throw in the event of a crash. But like, it's amazing.
I love driving there in Ho Chi Minh. They don't have any signs.
Do you do it? You drove a scooter there?
Yeah. Oh, here's what we did.
Look up the statistics.
We would walk out uh-huh. and put our hands up mm-hmm. and immediately guys on motorcycles
they pick you up, like
would
Uber.
Stop. No, they would stop and we'd go, I want your motorcycle for the day. And they go, okay. And we would give them $20.
Stop.
And we say, we'll meet you back here at 4:00.
Yeah.
And then we would be off on little motorcycle adventures and drop the bike back off. That's how you rented motorcycles. Now I was there about
how did you find your way around?
18 years ago. That was the fun.
Okay. That was the inevitability of it.
But you'd come into these intersections where there are 5-6 roads
yep.
all coming together with
mm-hmm.
no traffic
mm-hmm.
lights.
Nope.
And the first day, it's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
And the second and third day, you get into the flow and the rhythm.
Yeah.
And you go, all right, well, you know, if I go down, I'm getting on a helicopter to Thailand. But we all did fine.
But
my friend did fall. He did get hurt once, but outside of Vietnam,
If he would have fallen inside, people wouldn't have stopped for
him. Yeah, you just get run over.
You would get run over.
I know, that was part of the fun.
And I saw...
But for the most part, traffic flows together very beautifully.
For the most part, the world works.
Yeah,
But when it doesn't, it's horribly, goes horribly bad.
But that's the same odds driving around L.A. with people on their iPhones.
It's true. At least you're
I saw a woman yesterday almost hit me. She had a handicap sticker. She was about 35, and she was on her phone,
mm-hmm.
and she was eating. She was doing all of it.
Yeah.
Just almost ran me over in her minivan.
At
I'm
least
like,
you
what
were protected in your cage. I saw a guy carrying a ladder.
What's wrong with that?
Over his head on a scooter.
Oh, this is in Vietnam?
In Vietnam.
Okay.
So he's got one hand on the... Don't you need two hands?
Yes,
I don't know.
I love
so
that.
He had one hand on the handlebars, and he had a ladder, an 8-foot ladder, and the middle of the ladder was over his head, so the front of the ladder was to the front, and the back of the ladder was to the back. And that's just like, I don't know if he didn't love his head where it was, but it wasn't going to last all day.
No, that's what's great about that country. Well, we've had a good time today. You come back whenever you like. You've been listening, of course, to Zane Lamprey. Is it Lamprey?
Sure.
Lamprey.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
My brother says Lamprey.
He's got shows all over Drink TV, which is launching on Roku. It's also on Apple TV. That's probably where I'm going to catch up with it. You can also download the app, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
DrinkTV.com.
If you go to 4sheets.com, that'll take you to my podcast, my store, the show. All
so
this.
That's your
yeah,
website.
Four,
okay,
yeah,
there
four
you go.
Sheets is where
4sheets.com. And you can also listen to him here at Podcast One. He's got the hit podcast. I just made you a hit.
It's
Zane's
how did you do that?
World.
All of a sudden in a day. It is, by the way, the best podcast.
That's
ever,
what I hear.
Ever
that's
invented.
Word. That's word in the hallway here.
Ever invented. People talk about
next
it.
To Adam Carolla.
People are talking about it.
All right. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio. Quick before we go, 60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? Get an offer with your car from TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, just listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or at home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together, the two of you. You can even hug if you want. You can ask questions, get the answers you need so there's no surprises, then simply leave your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a new, better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.